The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Enemy's Help, Part 11. The Enemy's Help, Part 11. It's December 30th, the last Sunday of 2012. Amen. And what I want to do is just continue on our series about the enemy's help and how he helps us get through life. And we need an enemy because we need sometimes a spurring on. And we're going to talk a little bit about the enemy this morning. And we said that the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign that your present season is finally coming to an end. I don't know about you. When the enemy arrives, I know, oh, the season's going to be coming to an end. I'm going to another level. Amen. Now, I look at these steps that we got here on the side. You know, God says the righteous man's steps are ordered of God. Steps. I don't like steps. I just want to get right to the top. But sometimes we have to take a step and another step before we get to where God wants to go. And sometimes we have to have an enemy there to try to mess us up a little bit so that we get more serious about his word. Amen. In order to have great progress in your life, an enemy is required. An enemy gives you purpose. The devil fights who you're becoming. The devil don't like it. But there's something inside of you that's special to God. And the enemy is fighting it because he knows that once you know what it is, he's in trouble. Challenges and tests come to test who you already are. Tests just test on what you already know. If you didn't study for the test, then you don't know nothing. But if you're studying the Word, you're going to be ready and approved for those tests. And we said that when you take these tests, you're not alone. The teacher's already in the class. Jesus is always in the class. The Holy Spirit is always with you. The enemy, we said, also hates your potential. You have greatness inside of you this morning. You all have greatness inside of you. We said that that faith comes by hearing, not seeing. And most people think the opposite of faith is doubt. But it's not true. The opposite of faith is sight. Because what happens is we start to see things and then we get off track. That's why we need to have faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Negative people never stand out significantly in history. When it's recorded, they just blend in. You don't know all the names of those that put Jesus to death. They didn't stand out in the crowd, but you will. Because there's greatness inside of you. And the devil wants to quench and quiet you before you even get started. We said last time we got together, the enemy knows that if you ever uproot and to defeat the enemy that's within inside of you, you'll be free to help others battle in the same way. Amen? The enemy within you usually is a root problem. And what we need to do is we get that because we choose not to confront certain things about our lives. We don't want to take personal responsibility. And that's why the society we have today is the gimme Jimmy society. Amen? Gimme to me because my name is Jimmy. I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything. I'm entitled to it. And they don't want to take personal responsibility to maybe get up at 5 in the morning and start to pray. And then go out and lay hands on the resumes and then go out to 100 places or 25 places and be consistent every day until something breaks forth. To say you can't find a job after 3 years, I'm going to say something you're lying to me because you ain't trying. Call it the way it is. It's not the devil that needs rebuking. It's our undisciplined lifestyle from the world that needs to be transformed by the power of his word. And if the world could get a hold of his word, the world would be different than it is today. God's looking at giving a hand up, not a hand out. And sometimes it's easier to spiritualize and something and blame the devil instead of understanding that maybe we have a personal flaw and we have to take some ownership of it and that maybe we need to change in the inside. It's not everybody else's trouble. I lost 9 jobs in a row because of everybody else. No, maybe you need to look inside and say, well, maybe it was me. But we're going to see what the Word has to say this morning about the enemy and how he helps us in our lives, because there is a real devil. He doesn't like you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. But there's good news. You've overcome all that. You got a Savior whose name is Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians this morning, 4:17. It's a scripture we've been talking about for the last 10 weeks. It's a New King James Version of 2 Corinthians 4:17. The Bible says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory." We're going to have some light afflictions. Jesus even considered the cross a light affliction. So if he can endure the cross, there's so much more we can endure. Amen? Don't be afraid when you're going through something, because you're going to get through it. It says, "And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen," these chairs, this podium, are just temporary, "but the things which are not seen are eternal. We walk by faith and not by sight." You ever meet a blind person? They have perception in so many other ways they can't see, but they can sense and smell and hear is more accurate. We have to walk by faith. Now, I want to share a couple of things this morning. I only have three small points. Each point's going to take 4 hours because each one of them has A through Z. Amen? Just kidding. First point I want to bring up is that there's a fighting in the flesh. Each and every one of us fight the flesh. And in us, the enemy tries to use our flesh to destroy us. The Bible defines flesh as this: wanting to live life our way instead of God's way. Before I got saved, I did it my way. Didn't Frank Sinatra sing, "I did it my way"? Well, I want to do it his way. Because if I follow his way, I'm gonna have all the things that he wants me to really have and walk in those blessings. Amen? Let me share a few things with you. We all have decisions to make about what will dominate our thinking and determine our belief systems. Some people I know, they don't believe in God. They just believe in the doctrine of man. But here we believe in Jesus. Amen? And let me share this. Your flesh has desires all day long. The question is, do you give in to those desires? If your focus is on those desires, your thoughts will bring you into captivity to what your flesh wants. Let me give you an example. If you look at pornography enough, your flesh will desire it and crave it more and more. You'll want more. Everywhere you turn, there'll be another opportunity. If you drink, you'll find yourself hanging with other people that drink, and they spur you on to drink even more. They're an encourager. Whatever you desire, if you love food, if you hang around the buffet enough, guess what? You'll have enough food to last you for eternity. Your flesh desires all the time a new car, a new purse, a new clothes. But you have to control your flesh, because the enemy will help you get in debt real quick. He'll help you do some things that you normally wouldn't choose to do. Now, I thought about that, and I said, well, okay, Lord, well, if it's true that my flesh desires things, well, the opposite must be true as well. Now, bless you. That God has desires too, and if you focus on his desires, then your spirit will bring you into captivity of his will, or the will of God. So we have to get our thinking around the things of God. That God has desires too, and if we can just get our focus around his desires, start hanging around people that are Christ-like. Amen? Take a look at Romans 13, 14. Amplified Bible, Romans 13, verse 14. It says it this way: "But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the great I am. And I make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your flesh nature. to gratify its desires or lust. In other words, God says, clothe yourself with me. Choose my way. Choose the Jesus lifestyle. Do it my way, and don't go after the cravings or your lustful desires of the things of the world. Getting quiet in here. See, some people would be delivered tomorrow if they quit giving their flesh so many opportunities. Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? You need to put lines of separation between your weakness and yourself. You need to put some divisional lines, some things that will keep you away from doing the things in the flesh. If your weakness is beautiful women, don't be driving by the strip club. Women, if your weakness is looking at gorgeous men, you probably don't want to go see the Thunder Down Under, because that would just be feeding your flesh. If your desire is drinking, your key is to stay away from where they serve alcohol. If your issue is gambling, you probably don't want to go to the casino. You want to distance yourself from that. What I'm really saying is that if you stay away from the fire, you won't get burned. But if you hang around with dogs, you catch its fleas. We got to keep our flesh in check. If you're struggling with a particular sin, you've got to separate yourself from it and make it impossible for your flesh to get to it. Oh, Pastor, crazy. I don't counsel women alone because I don't want it to look or appear like something it isn't. When I travel and I go to other out-of-state places and I'm traveling by myself for business, the first thing I do is I make sure I block all the channels that has anything to do with pornography, because I don't want to be drawn into that. Idle time, man. You know, the devil will throw everything but the kitchen sink. First thing I do, I go in there and just, you block all those channels. I don't want to have a desire for that. Not that I crave it, but, you know, the devil will try to rear its ugly head. Oh, I can see that now. It's on the bill. I try to explain that one. I don't want to have any evil appearance of anything. So what you have to do is you have to distance yourself. And you got to make it almost impossible for the flesh to get to it. Next concept is go long term and stick to God's plan. Go long term. See, the enemy is there to help you, but he's trying to make you go short term. He's trying to make you sell yourself short. When God already says that you already have the victory in Christ Jesus. There's a story about Esau. Take a look at Malachi 1, 2, and 3. Malachi chapter 1, the New King James Version, says it this way. It says, I love you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for jackals of the wilderness. Now, let me tell you the story a little bit. Esau had a birthright in his family. But because he was hungry, flesh, oh, my stomach's growling, he was willing to give up his birthright for just a meal of beans. He sold himself out short, and God was upset about it. See, the enemy will try to use your flesh, your cravings, to make you sell yourself short. And Esau gave the rewards of his future to satisfy his empty stomach. It's pretty much how people go. It's a way of the flesh. The flesh is all about gratification, not tomorrow or next year, but right now. It's about how I feel today. I don't care about tomorrow. I'm only worried about today. And people want to satisfy that craving, that desire, and you know, and they go and they do things that they shouldn't do because they want to feed the flesh. And see, that's an enemy within you is trying to get that craving of your flesh to overtake what God has said. Amen? The Apostle Paul gives us some wisdom in Ephesians 5:15 and 16. It says, see then that you walk, what's that word? Circumspectfully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days of evil. Listen, we're in the days of evil. We're in some time of trouble. There are some problems in the government, and it doesn't matter who's in office right now. We got problems in America. We got people shooting people. Guns don't kill, people kill. All right? Don't blame a person who has a gun. It's not the gun that pulled the trigger. It was a human being that was out of his mind or her mind. It probably had a demon spirit that never went to church and never got set free and never got delivered, and that's why they're doing what they're doing. They probably are going to... And you notice the generation is younger that's doing most of the killing. It's why? Because we took the Bible and we took prayer and we took all that out of the schools, and then we wonder why we got problems. See how the devil works? He got in there, and he didn't want to offend anybody, so we'll just take the Bible out, and we'll take out prayer, and then the people go crazy without his word because they have nothing to hold on to. Someone that goes and kills 27 people aren't in their right mind. They have a demon in them. They're mentally disturbed. Why? Because the devil's in there. But Jesus can heal that. Oh, he had a mental disorder. Give him one in this church in 15 minutes. We'll get him delivered. We'll stomp the devil right out of him. The root word circumvent is circle. Circle. Life involves cycles. And we should live each day knowing that the decision that we make now will come around and visit us later. Oh, pastor. What goes around, comes around. And sometimes when it comes around, you don't like what's coming around. You know, same principle with sowing and reaping. World calls it karma. But we know it is sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. I'm just trying to help. Decisions that you make, it's funny how they come around. Good or bad. Because life is about a bunch of cycles. The foundational principle of a Christian life is sowing and reaping, right? So a spiritual person always lives with the harvest or the future in mind. Today's decisions are tomorrow's reality. Let me say that again. Today's decisions are tomorrow's reality. If I choose to go cheat on my wife, somehow, some way, she will find out. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow, and that will affect my future. Today's decisions are tomorrow's reality, good or bad. Don't sell short-term passions. And don't allow it to destroy your long-term blessings. Don't give up your steak dinner tonight for just a bowl of beans. See, Esau gave up his birthright and all that was associated with it. I mean, if you see in Europe, you know, there's a king, right? And then there's the queen. And then now you see the son. And what's his name? Prince Harry? Prince Harry and his wife who's going to be having a baby. And that's going to be given to them. But if he chose to just settle out for the beans, his other brother was going to get it. The one at parties in Las Vegas with naked people. Being real here. He would have sold out short. He wouldn't be inheriting the whole thing. We don't want to be like Esau. We don't want to sell ourselves short. We don't want to go there. We don't want the devil to get into our flesh and have these cravings. We have to stop. Amen? When there's stuff on TV and we're flicking it, all of a sudden, oh, there's something I better flick the camera, flick right by. You know how you beat the flesh? Beating the flesh in your life is there's a thing called the anointing that destroys the yoke. And a word anointing, back in those days, the Hebrew word means fatness. And I'm going to share something with you because I want you to get this principle this morning. We don't want to be like Esau. We don't want to sell ourselves. We don't want to feed the flesh. But there's also something about this thing called the flesh. And the only way that we can beat the flesh is have the anointing of God on our lives. And the anointing of God is not what you think. It's not this thing I come in, I'm anointed of God. The anointing of God is fatness. Well, fatness is done by eating the Word of God, digesting it, spending time with it, having it overtake you. Take a look at Isaiah 10, verse 27. Isaiah 10, 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The word anointing in Isaiah 27 is translated as fatness. Let me explain something. Oxes get these yokes put on them at a young age. Because an ox that's full grown can't take the harness, and nor could you even subdue it because it's so big and strong. So by the age that it's already full grown, its strength is too big and too great for anyone to tame it. So that's why an ox had to be yoked at such an early age. A farmer would put a yoke around its neck, a heavy weight. And as the ox grew up and experienced life, all the ox knew was the weight of the yoke around that neck. So over time, the yoke just got to be part of the ox's pattern of coping with life. Your pattern of life, reading the Bible, praying like Ron said, every day, and praying for everybody. Praying for our government, praying for those that are in authority over us. See, the idea is that as the ox grows bigger and stronger, its very size fatness eventually cracks and destroys the yoke that's been around his neck that he's been carrying for years. He's been carrying it for years. It's like the inside things that you've been carrying for years. There's been things that you haven't been able to break free yet in your life because you've been carrying it so long and you're just weighted down by that. But I tell you today, as you spend more time in the Word and you begin to put more of that Word, the fatter you get spiritually, it breaks the yoke. Oh, how about you? That was good news for me. What this means for you is that God will not break your yoke, destroy the power of the hidden enemy that's inside of you from the outside. He breaks it from the inside. The inside out. You have to do some things to change the inside so it affects the outside. You need to become so big spiritually, okay, that it breaks the yoke that's been on your life. God can miraculously remove anything from your life. I'm not saying that's not what he can't do. He will do that for you. But most of the time, you'll find freedom that will come through your consistent daily growth of increasing your fatness. God will make you so big, spiritually speaking, that whatever bondage has been held up when you were young will break and no longer be able to hold you down as an adult. We've allowed things in our young upbringing to hold us back. People telling you, you'll never amount to nothing. And you've been carrying this yoke around your neck. And I've been asking God, what's going on? He goes, It's the coming to the end of the year. I'm not finished yet. And I want your people to know, he said, that they've had a yoke around their neck, but the word that they've been hearing, the word that they've been spending time, the word that they've been doing is causing them to have fatness spiritually. And those things that of the youth, the things you couldn't break free, the things that have been holding your flesh and trying to pull you, is starting to be broken off. And that heaviness is starting to come off you so that you can go do the things of God. Whatever God's called you to do, just go do it. See, an enemy within you is typically destroyed over a period of time. It's a process. I started this morning by saying that the righteous man's steps are ordered of God. The righteous man's steps, a solid foundation, are ordered of God. God didn't say to come here and not take the step up. God said take the other way around here and stand on this step, because when I get you to this step, there's some things that you've already cleared. You might not be ready for the next step. Uh-oh. I know this is deep theological teaching. But you can't get up to the next step into the yoke. Because see, the stairs might not be able to handle my weight of that yoke, so I got to take this step from here to here to get that yoke broken off me. Because I've been spending time with Jesus. I've been reading His Word. Amen. I've been fasting and praying, and I've been doing the right things of God, and now I can take another step up. Amen. And I don't have to hold on to the old junk. The old junk is down on the other step. And then when it's on that step, I just push it down the rest of the hill. I push it off the financial cliff that might be coming. Because I don't need it no more. Your steps have been ordered of God. That yoke is destroyed by the anointing. When you walk into a room, there ain't no halo on your head, but there's something that people know that you're different. You're not carrying what you used to carry. The old junk in your trunk's been eliminated. Those things that needed to be flushed out of your system have been flushed away. Your old past ways are your past, but your future's bright. That's why you have an enemy. The enemy tries to attack your flesh, and he tries to get you to do things that you know aren't good for you. Come on, just smoke a little weed. Before you know it, you're smoking a pound of weed. Just try this little bit of this and a little bit of that, and before you know it, you got it all. We said you have to separate yourself from things that might hinder you. I remember the perfect illustration, and I was sitting here. I remember we had a pastor back in Michigan. My wife and I had just gotten saved, and we still had alcohol in the house, and yet we didn't drink. And he came to the house, and in the cupboard, and there's all this alcohol up there. He said, "What's that for?" I said, "Well, when family come, I like to have them to have a shot or a beer or whatever." And I kept beer in the refrigerator for him. I wasn't drinking any. I mean, I was delivered from alcohol, praise God. But I had it there for somebody else. And I remember him saying, he says, "So you're going to help them stumble. You're going to help them fall." He says, "When they come to your house, are you embarrassed that you have a dry house?" I said, "Well, yeah, I am." He says, "Get rid of that alcohol." And then I said, "Man, I got a big investment here." And I thought, who could I bless? Who could I bless with all this alcohol? And he looked at me and he says, "You bless the toilet. You just go start pouring that stuff down the drain. Don't go bless, go bless somebody. Go bless them in the car wreck, man. What's wrong with you, boy?" But see, I wasn't all there yet. I still had a yoke around my neck. And it sounded right, though. I mean, hey, well, if I can't have it, I'll give it to somebody, one of my friends who likes to drink Crown Royal. Somebody who likes to have their coffee with a little bit of something in it, And I would just be a blessing. God reward me for that. He's looking at me like, "Boy, are you crazy?" And then I had to call the family, and when they came over, I had to tell them, "Ain't no alcohol. And then they would say, well, can we bring our own? No, you can't bring that in my house. So when my aunts came by, they had the DDTs. They were shaking. Well, where's the gin at? I said, well, here's the water that used to have the one speck of water, your whole bottle of gin in it. But remember, I was still yoked. I mean, we laugh about it because it's true. Brings up memories, don't it? We were fighting problems. Wife and I would have problems because, you know, we had magazines in a house that weren't supposed to be there. We didn't think about it. I've been on order for 5 years already. What's the heck's the difference? Cancel subscription. Well, I'm getting it only for a dollar a book. You go into the magazine rack, you got to pay $12 for that book. Can I bust somebody with those books, maybe? See how God's taken us? I mean, we laugh about it. See, I can point about myself because that's what we didn't think nothing about it. But the yoke kept on getting heavier. The more of that stuff we did, the heavier it got. And then someone said, hey, you got to get saved. And I said, saved from who? He says, yourself. Because the road you're going down is not very good. It's a rocky road and you're on a bicycle. It ain't going to go too good for you. You might be able to hang on for a short period of time, but eventually you're going to crash and you're going to get busted up. And he said, you got to get to know Jesus. And once I got to learn about Jesus and I found out and I started reading the Word, what it did, the Word started pushing out those things we used to do. It was like weeds. And all I did is the more Word I got, it pushed out the weed and made more room for His Word. Before you know it, I was choking out the weeds instead of the weeds choking out the Word. No longer was the flesh in control, but He was in control. I needed to learn to die to self. It's the hardest thing to do. Because I like myself. But God likes myself a little bit more. So we have to kill the flesh. We have to put some separation between the things that we know might cause us some trouble. There's some associations and friends we just don't associate and hang with anymore. Why? Because they're not good for our life. They're not good for our marriage. They're not good for our kids. They're a bunch of naysaying, lying, cheating. But I pray for them. Like Ron says, you got to pray for them. You think they're politicians or something, for God's sake. I mean, but you have to cut. Because if you don't, they'll get into your flesh. And then the flesh, you're getting into your flesh, then all of a sudden, you miss out on the blessings. Or they'll bring you back. You're backslidden again. Don't allow the enemy to hinder you from what God has planned for you to do. Fight your flesh daily. Put lines of separation between your weakness and yourself. You know where you're weak. Put a line between it. Well, Pastor, I think my calling is to go to those strip clubs and get all those women saved. Now, if that was your problem before, that's probably not where you want to go. Come on. I heard stories, man. A yoke around your neck, but the fatness from all the Word, from all the prayer, from all the time you're spending with God causes that thing to break free from the inside out. God's not removing it from the outside in. It's from the inside. It's what you're putting inside of you is forcing the other stuff, the junk, out. Pushing it away from you so that you can now take another step. I hate steps. I like an elevator. It takes me right to the top. But steps, think about it. You got to take steps. Steps. I mean, I got to take another step. And you get tired. Got to take another step. And you get tired. But once you take enough steps, you won't be tired. Because the higher you go, the lighter your load. Once you drop off that yoke that's been choking you out, oh, you feel great. If you're struggling with a particular sin, You got to separate yourself from it and make it impossible for your flesh to get to it. Go long term and stick to God's plan. Don't do short term thinking. Don't do short term passions that will destroy your blessings. Remember what Esau did. He gave up his birthright. It's the anointing that destroys your yoke. It's the fatness. It doesn't mean that God's going to destroy the yoke by the power that is on the outside of you. He breaks it from what's inside of you. I remember when I was gaining a lot of weight, I said, man, I got saved. Lord, just remove the weight. I'm waiting. I wake up in the morning, be another whole another person there. We just push off the step. Didn't work that way. No. I had to learn to eat right, not eat junk, and go exercise. Oh, I hated exercising. Oh, my God. That's more time in my schedule. I don't have time to go do that. But now I'm learning. I got to make time. It's got to be a priority up there with the Word of God. So you find freedom. And freedom comes when you consistently do the things of God. You increase in fatness, and God will make you so big, spiritually speaking, that whatever bondage has held you back as a youth, as a young person, will be broken, and you'll no longer have to carry that as an adult. God's not done with 2012 for some of you. There's a couple things you still need to finish up. There's a couple things you just need to say, Lord, I just want to get this under the wire. I just want to complete a few things, Lord God. I need to eat a few more oats of the Word so that this yoke can just be broken off me. Lord, I don't want to feed the flesh no more. I don't want to do the things I used to do. I just want to do the way you want to do it. I want to reverse engineer what I've been doing, and I want to feed my spirit man instead of my flesh. Shout with me this morning, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. There is an enemy, and I will defeat him. I will die to my flesh and pick up the cross of Jesus. The anointing resides in me. Yokes are being destroyed. I'm walking in the blessing of God. I'm blessed, and I'm highly favored. I pray this in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a little hand clap of praise. Amen. Did you get anything? Did I deposit enough to get you through two more days before the new year? Did we challenge you a little bit so that whatever you haven't finished, that's between you and God, you'll finish before the new year? I don't want to carry any junk my trunk into 2013. It's a new whiteboard. Jesus wipes my board clean every day, every time I repent, every time I mess up. And Lord, I'm sorry, I screwed up. Lord, I cut that person off, and I told them where they should go. It wasn't heaven. So I ask you to please forgive me. And he wipes that. But people don't know that. So they think of the first of the year, well, I get a clean slate. So let's take advantage of that with people. You see, you got a clean slate, but after the first day, you'll probably mess it up. And so you need someone to help you wipe the whiteboard. You need to point them over to Jesus. You need to help them. You need to get them redirected, refocused, recommitted. You need to be that avenue. You need to be the person that helps people get back on track. People are in panic right now about this fiscal cliff and all that. I hear stuff, and they're all concerned and worried. I said, I don't care if the government goes gazillion dollars. I don't care if the government goes bankrupt. Pastor, how could you say that? Because my God that I serve, the great I am, the one we just sang about, how great is my God, will take care of me. So I don't fear, because Jesus is here. He just came on Christmas Day. People forget about it in about another week when they go back to work. Oh, I got to go back to work now. Jesus who? Christmas why? 2013, oh my God, it's another new year. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do something different than what you've been doing. Otherwise, you'll get the same crazy results. I don't have any New Year's resolutions. My resolution is to do whatever he tells me to do, whenever he tells me to do it, and do it as fast as I quickly as can, and be obedient to what he says to do it, and do it the way he wants to do it, not the way I want to do it. If I do that, everything else is going to be good. Because he'll help me with my eating. He'll make more time in my schedule to go to the gym so I can work out and try to get my body back in shape other than round. Amen? Because we got to be healthy. I don't know if you've seen the health care plan. Well, I'm going to get expensive, so I got to start getting healthy. Pay for all that stuff. My wife and I were looking. She had her blood drawn, and it was $1,616 is what they charged the insurance company. $1,616 per vial of blood, or for 3 vials of blood. Mine was like $2,500 when they took my 5 vials. Now, I didn't pay that. I mean, they discounted and that. But I mean, that's crazy. But then I thought about the blood. And they check everything through blood. And it was the same blood that Jesus they took out of me. And that blood is priceless. That's why they charge $1,616. Amen. And then to tell me everything's okay, I said, I knew that because I got the blood of Jesus washing over me. Just wanted a confirmation. See, Ron got a confirmation this week from his oncologist that there's no more cancer. I can't find anything anymore. You know, they drew blood and they found that there's no cancer amongst his body. No longer dwells there anymore. He said, hey, you had a vacation in my little home called my body, and now you have to go. I have to boot you to the steps. I have to push you out the financial cliff. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to be healed. And he walked by faith and not by sight. And doctors put expiration tags on his feet and say, you won't be dead by this day. And he said, well, I didn't see that. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm going to be healed and whole. And I'm going to walk in divine health. And my blood is the blood of Jesus. And I'm all good. Doctor, thank you for your report. But I know my Jesus healed me. I had to go through some stuff. He had to go through some process. He had to take some steps. I had to go through some chemo or some radiation. He had to go through a couple steps to get to where that yoke. Come on. That yoke was broken. And left that step so that he can come up and testify today and say, I'm healed. Listen to what Jesus did for me. Yokes get broken. See, God wasn't done with them yet. God had a good report to the end of the year. There still may be another good report for you before the end of the year. Oh, Pastor, that can't be. Well, then it can't be. I'm saying there's still a good report for me and my family. I'll call forth whatever God wants to bring. I don't know. Maybe someone just want to buy me a house or something. I don't know. And here's your new home or something. I don't know. I'm still believing for that. Hey, we got to give this to you before the end of the year so that we can have the tax benefit. Would you like to move into this mansion? Well, okay, you're twisting my arm. I'll go. Oh, yeah. I don't want to block your blessing. I like that. Sure, I'll take that. See, you think, oh, Pastor, that's crazy. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. You might just get one of those calls. God ain't done with 2012. He hasn't closed. He hasn't taken the book and said, okay, 2013. You got a couple more days. You don't know what God can do with a couple days. I don't know. Lazarus had a experience that he was in the grave for a couple, 2-3 days. And then Jesus showed up and pretty quickly that yoke was broke. So whatever yoke has been around your neck, Lord, I pray right now for your people. Lord, the yokes be destroyed today. Lord, let them leave the yoke that has been choking them out in 2012. Let them leave it in 2012. Let them be able to take a step forward with a lighter load in 2013. I pray for your people to be blessed, Lord, and highly favored. And Lord, as you close the chapter in 2012, Lord God, and you cement the seal of the book, Lord God, the past will be the past, but the future is so bright with Jesus. Leave our past yokes, our fleshly desires, our things that are hindering us and holding us back, Jesus. Keep them in 2012, Lord God, because we want to step forward. We want to spring forward in 2013 for you. Lord God, we want to spend more time in prayer. We want to spend more time, Lord God, in your word. Lord God, we want the word to be in us so great that we have fatness just oozing out of us from your word. That there be nothing that can resonate in us because there's no room. Because you're all full of your word. Lord, let it be our desire to walk in health and wholeness. Let it be, Lord God, our desire to follow your word, your will, your way, your plan, your purpose. Let us desire to be more like you and less like this world. Lord God, let us die to our flesh at the end of this year so that we step in the next year, Lord God, feeding our soul, our spiritual man. Bless us, Lord God, as we close the chapter and we move forward in the things of you. We move forward and upward, Lord. I ask you to bless your people. Financially, Lord God, let it be their greatest increase year of 2013. I call that the greatest grace of God be upon their life. I call, Lord God, forward, Lord, a favor that people will speak about that's not fair, but, Lord God, they're walking in the favor of God. That, Lord God, I call forth increase. I call better jobs or higher pay increases, Lord God. More spiritual connections to you, Father. More people speaking into our lives, Lord God, your word. And Lord God, let us not compromise. Not at one step, Lord God, let us never compromise your word. Let us be people of integrity in 2013. Let us be people that do it your way, not the world's way. And shower us with your blessings. Let us not sell ourselves short. Let us not sell ourselves out for a meal of beans and give up, Lord God, the birthright that you've given us. That we're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let us never sell that short. I ask you, Lord, to bless your people. As they come back next week, Lord God, oh, your word will be even better than it was today. Let the word soak and seal. Lord God, let it be like a salve to heal. Touch and bless each person today. Let them go forth and do it your way. Let them close the chapter, and Lord God, let them begin to open up the new that you have for them. New beginnings, new horizons, some new vision, Lord God. Bless them this year. And Lord God, as they walk forth, Lord God, moving forward, that Lord God, they'll see the glory. They'll see the glory of God in their lives. The manifestation take place. In the precious, in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen, and amen, and amen. Happy New Year. God's got great stuff in store. He's got great stuff in store for the church. He's got great stuff in store for each of us personally. Because really, you're the church. And I think there's going to be some awesome stuff. I know. I just know by the Spirit. 2013. 2012 was good, but 13 going to be a little bit better. It's my lucky number, 13. God's going to do some great stuff. God's not done with us. We're just propelling from one season into another season. Remember, when you leave here today, you're going to be stepping out of 2012 into 2013. The difference is you're stepping into 2013 without all the yoke, and you're on a firm foundation. And his name is Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Let them go forth in your name. Amen, and amen, and amen. You are dismissed.